The First Letter of St. Clement of Rome, translated by Robert Donaldson. The Church of God which sojourns at Rome, to the Church of God sojourning at Corinth, to those who are called and sanctified by the will of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from Almighty God through Jesus Christ be multiplied. Owing, dear brethren, to the sudden and successive calamitous events which have happened to ourselves, we feel that we have been somewhat tardy in turning our attention to the points respecting which you consulted us, and especially to that shameful and detestable sedition, utterly abhorrent to the elect of God, which a few rash and self-confident persons have kindled to such a pitch of frenzy that your venerable and illustrious name, worthy to be universally loved, has suffered grievous injury. For whoever dwelt even for a short time among you, and did not find your faith to be as fruitful of virtue as it was firmly established? Who did not admire the sobriety and moderation of your godliness in Christ? Who did not proclaim the magnificence of your habitual hospitality? And who did not rejoice over your perfect and well-grounded knowledge? For you did all things without respect of persons, and walked in the commandments of God, being obedient to those who had the rule over you, and giving all fitting honor to the priests among you. You enjoined young men to be of a sober and serious mind. You instructed your wives to do all things with a blameless, becoming, and pure conscience, loving their husbands as in duty bound. And you taught them that, living in the rule of obedience, they should manage their household affairs becomingly, and be, in every respect, marked by discretion. Moreover, you were all distinguished by humility, and were in no respect puffed up with pride, but yielded obedience rather than extorted it, and were more willing to give than to receive. Content with the provision which God had made for you, and carefully attending to his words, you were inwardly filled with his doctrine, and his sufferings were before your eyes. Thus a profound and abundant peace was given to you all, and you had an insatiable desire for doing good, while a full outpouring of the Holy Spirit was upon you all. Full of holy designs, and with true earnestness of mind and a godly confidence, you stretched forth your hands to God Almighty, beseeching him to be merciful to you, if you had been guilty of any involuntary transgression. Day and night you were anxious for the whole brotherhood, that the number of God's elect might be saved with mercy and a good conscience. You were sincere and uncorrupted, and forgetful of injuries between one another. Every kind of faction and schism was abominable in your sight. You mourned over the transgressions of your neighbors. Their deficiencies you deemed your own. You never grudged any act of kindness, being ready to every good work. Adorned by a thoroughly virtuous and religious life, you did all things in the fear of God. The commandments and ordinances of the Lord were written upon the tablets of your hearts. Every kind of honor and happiness was bestowed upon you, and then was fulfilled what is written: My beloved ate and drank, and was enlarged, and became fat, and kicked. Hence flowed emulation and envy, strife and sedition, persecution and disorder, war and captivity. So the worthless rose up against the honors, those of no reputation against such as were renowned, the foolish against the wise, the young against those advanced in years. For this reason, righteousness and peace are now far departed from you, inasmuch as everyone abandons the fear of God, and has become blind in his faith, neither walks in the ordinances of his appointment, nor acts a part becoming a Christian, but walks after his own wicked lusts, resuming the practice of an unrighteous and ungodly envy, by which death itself entered into the world. For thus it is written, "And it came to pass after certain days that Cain brought of the fruits of the earth a sacrifice to God, and Abel also brought of the firstlings of his sheep and of the fat thereof. And God had respect to Abel and to his offerings, but Cain and his sacrifices he did not regard. And Cain was deeply grieved, and his countenance fell. And God said to Cain, Why are you grieved, and why is your countenance fallen? If you offer rightly, but do not divide rightly, have you not sinned? Be at peace. Your offering returns to yourself, and you shall again possess it. And Cain said to Abel his brother, Let us go into the field. And it came to pass, while they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and killed him." You see, brethren, how envy and jealousy led to the murder of a brother? Through envy also our father Jacob fled from the face of Esau his brother. Envy made Joseph be persecuted unto death, and to come into bondage. Envy compelled Moses to flee from the face of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, when he heard these words from his fellow countrymen, "Who made you a judge or a ruler over us? Will you kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" On account of envy, Aaron and Miriam had to make their home outside of the camp. Envy brought down Dathan and Abiram alive to Hades, through the sedition which they excited against God's servant Moses. Through envy, David underwent the hatred not only of foreigners, but was also persecuted by Saul, king of Israel. But, not to dwell upon ancient examples, let us come to the most recent spiritual heroes. Let us take the noble examples furnished in our own generation. Through envy and jealousy, the greatest and most righteous pillars of the church have been persecuted and put to death. Let us set before our eyes the illustrious apostles. Peter, through unrighteous envy, endured not one or two, but numerous labors, and when he had finally suffered martyrdom, departed to the place of glory due to him. Owing to envy, Paul also obtained the reward of patient endurance, after being 7 times thrown into captivity, compelled to flee, and stoned. After preaching both in the East and the West, he gained the illustrious reputation due to his faith, having taught righteousness to the whole world, and come to the extreme limit of the West, and suffered martyrdom under the prefects. Thus was he removed from the world, and went into the holy place, having proved himself a striking example of patience. To these men who spent their lives in the practice of holiness, there is to be added a great multitude of the elect, who, having through envy endured many indignities and tortures, furnished us with a most excellent example. Through envy, those women, Danaides and Dirce, being persecuted after they had suffered terrible and unspeakable torments, finished the course of their faith with steadfastness, and though weak in body, received a noble reward. Envy has alienated wives from their husbands, and changed that saying of our father Adam, "This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh." envy and strife have overthrown great cities and rooted up mighty nations. These things, beloved, we write to you, not merely to admonish you of your duty, but also to remind ourselves. For we are struggling in the same arena, and the same conflict is assigned to both of us. So let us give up vain and fruitless cares, and approach to the glorious and venerable rule of our holy calling. Let us attend to what is good, pleasing, and acceptable in the sight of Him who formed us. Let us look steadfastly to the blood of Christ, and see how precious that blood is to God, which, having been shed for our salvation, has set the grace of repentance before the whole world. Let us turn to every age that has passed, and learn that, from generation to generation, the Lord has granted a place of repentance to all who would be converted to Him. Noah preached repentance, and as many as listened to him were saved. Jonah proclaimed destruction to the Ninevites, but they, repenting of their sins, propitiated God by prayer and obtained salvation, although they were aliens to the covenant of God. The ministers of the grace of God have, by the Holy Spirit, spoken of repentance. And the Lord of all things has Himself declared with an oath regarding it, "As I live, says the Lord, I desire not the death of the sinner, but rather his repentance." Adding, moreover, this gracious declaration, "Repent, O house of Israel, of your iniquity. Say to the children of my people, though your sins reach from earth to heaven, and though they be redder than scarlet and blacker than sackcloth, if you turn to me with your whole heart and say, 'Father, I will listen to you as to a holy people.'" And in another place he says, "Wash and become clean. Put away the wickedness of your souls from before my eyes. Cease from your evil ways and learn to do well. Seek out judgment, deliver the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and see that justice is done to the widow. And come, and let us reason together." He declares, "Though your sins be like crimson, I will make them white as snow. Though they be like scarlet, I will whiten them like wool. And if you are willing and obey me, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and will not listen to me, the sword shall devour you, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken these things." Desiring, therefore, that all his beloved should be partakers of repentance, he has, by his almighty will, established these declarations. So let us yield obedience to his excellent and glorious will, and imploring his mercy and loving kindness, while we forsake all fruitless labors and strife and envy, which leads to death, let us turn and have recourse to his compassions. Let us steadfastly contemplate those who have perfectly ministered to his excellent glory. Let us take, for instance, Enoch, who, being found righteous in obedience, was translated, and death was never known to happen to him. Noah, being found faithful, preached regeneration to the world through his ministry, and the Lord saved by him the animals which, with one accord, entered into the ark. Abraham, called the Friend, was found faithful inasmuch as he obeyed the words of God. He, in the exercise of obedience, went out from his own country and from his kindred and from his father's house, in order that, by forsaking a small territory and a weak family and an insignificant house, he might inherit the promises of God. For God said to him, "Leave your country and your kindred and your father's house, and go into the land which I shall show you. And I will make you a great nation, and will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be blessed. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and in you shall all the families of earth be blessed. And again, on his departing from Lot, God said to him, Lift up your eyes, and look from the place where you now are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, to you will I give it, and to your seed forever. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth. If a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall your seed also be numbered. And again, Scripture says, God brought forth Abram and said to him, Look up now to heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. So shall your seed be. And Abram believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. On account of his faith and hospitality, a son was given him in his old age. And in the exercise of obedience, he offered him as a sacrifice to God on one of the mountains which he showed him. On account of his hospitality and godliness, Lot was saved out of Sodom when all the country around him was punished by means of fire and brimstone. The Lord thus making it manifest that he does not forsake those who hope in him, but gives up those who depart from him to punishment and torture. For Lot's wife, who went forth with him, being of a different mind from himself, and not continuing in agreement with him, was made an example of, so as to be a pillar of salt to this day. This was done that all might know that those who are of a double mind, and who distrust the power of God, bring down judgment on themselves and become a sign to all succeeding generations. On account of her faith and hospitality, Rahab the harlot was saved. For when spies were sent out by Joshua, the son of Nun, to Jericho, the king of the country ascertained that they had come to spy out their land, and sent men to seize them, in order that when taken they might be put to death. But the hospitable Rahab received them, and hid them on the roof of her house under some stalks of flax. And when the men sent by the king arrived and said, There came men to you who are to spy out our land. Bring them forth, for so the king commands. She answered them, The two men whom you seek came to me, but quickly departed again, and are gone, thus not discovering the spies to them. Then she said to the men, I know assuredly that the Lord your God has given you this city, for the fear and dread of you have fallen on its inhabitants. When, therefore, you shall have taken it, keep me in the house of my father in safety. And they said to her, It shall be as you have spoken to us. As soon, therefore, as you know that we are at hand, you shall gather all your family under your roof, and they shall be preserved. But anyone found outside of your dwelling shall perish. Moreover, they gave her a sign to this effect, that she should hang forth from her house a scarlet thread. And thus they made it manifest that redemption should flow through the blood of the Lord to all those who believe and hope in God. You see, beloved, that there was not only faith but prophecy in this woman. Let us therefore, brethren, be of humble mind, laying aside all haughtiness and pride and foolishness and angry feelings. And let us act according to that which is written. For the Holy Spirit says, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, neither let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glories glory in the Lord, in diligently seeking him, and doing judgment and righteousness. being especially mindful of the words of the Lord Jesus which he spoke, teaching us meekness and long-suffering. For thus he spoke, "Be merciful, that you may obtain mercy. Forgive, that it may be forgiven to you. As you do, so shall it be done to you. As you judge, so shall you be judged. As you are kind, so shall kindness be shown to you. With what measure you measure, with the same it shall be measured to you." By this precept, and by these rules, let us establish ourselves, that we walk in all humility, in obedience to his holy words. For the holy word says, "On whom shall I look, but on him that is meek and peaceable, and who trembles at my words?" It is right and holy, therefore, men and brethren, to obey God rather than to follow those who, through pride and sedition, have become the leaders of a detestable emulation. For we shall incur no slight injury, but rather great danger, if we rashly yield ourselves to the inclinations of men who aim at exciting strife and tumults, so as to draw us away from what is good. Let us be kind one to another after the pattern of the tender mercy and benignity of our Creator. For it is written, "The kind-hearted shall inhabit the land, and the guiltless shall be left upon it, but transgressors shall be destroyed from off the face of it." And again, Scripture says, "I saw the ungodly highly exalted and lifted up like the cedars of Lebanon. I passed by, and behold, he was not, and I diligently sought his place, and could not find it." Preserve innocence, and look on equity, for there shall be a remnant to the peaceful man. Let us cleave, therefore, to those who cultivate peace with godliness, and not to those who hypocritically profess to desire it. For Scripture says in a certain place, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And again, "They bless with their mouth, but curse with their heart." And again it says, "They loved him with their mouth, and lied to him with their tongue, but their heart was not right with him, neither were they faithful in his covenant." Let the deceitful lips become silent, and let the Lord destroy all the lying lips, and the boastful tongue of those who have said, "Let us magnify our tongue. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?" For the oppression of the poor and for the sighing of the needy will I now arise, says the Lord. I will place him in safety. I will deal confidently with him. For Christ is of those who are humble-minded, and not of those who exalt themselves over his flock. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the scepter of the majesty of God, did not come in the pomp of pride or arrogance, although he might have done so, but in a lowly condition, as the Holy Spirit had declared regarding him. For he says, "Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We have declared our message in his presence. He is, as it were, a child, and like a root in thirsty ground. He has no form nor glory. Yea, we saw him, and he had no form nor comeliness, but his form was without eminence, yea, deficient in comparison with the form of men. He is a man exposed to stripes and suffering, and acquainted with the endurance of grief. For his countenance was turned away. He was despised and not esteemed. He bears our iniquities, and is in sorrow for our sakes. Yet we suppose that on his own account he was exposed to labor, and stripes, and affliction. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Every man has wandered in his own way. And the Lord has delivered him up for our sins, while he, in the midst of his sufferings, opens not his mouth. He was brought as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before her shearer is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. For the transgressions of my people was he brought down to death. And I will give the wicked for his sepulchre, and the rich for his death, because he did no iniquity, nor was guile found in his mouth. And the Lord is pleased to purify him by stripes. If you make an offering for sin, your soul shall see a long-lived seed. And the Lord is pleased to relieve him of the affliction of his soul, to show him light and form him with understanding, to justify the just one who ministers well to many. And he himself shall carry their sins. On this account he shall inherit many, and shall divide the spoil of the strong. Because his soul was delivered to death, and he was reckoned among the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and for their sins was he delivered. And again he says, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All who see me have derided me. They have spoken with their lips. They have wagged their head. He hoped in God. Let him deliver him. Let him save him, since he delights in him. You see, beloved, what is the example which has been given us? For if the Lord thus humbled himself, what shall we do, who have through him come under the yoke of his grace? End of part 1 of the first letter of St. Clement.